All right, and we are back with Growth and Development of Jazz for our second hour. To start off, I'd like to continue with the New Orleans Rhythm Kings and play their Wolverine Blues. After this, we're going to start getting into the figures that all of us have heard from, Louis Armstrong, King Oliver, and whatnot. So here we have the Wolverine Blues by the New Orleans Rhythm Kings. This is a recording from 1923. Now, as we move up the Mississippi River from New Orleans to Chicago, we start hearing some real Dixieland, really what we think of as the classic early jazz. The first thing we're going to listen to is some of King Oliver's band. King Oliver was one of the early jazz people. He influenced actually a lot of people who went on to be stars. One of those people he influenced was Louis Armstrong, who of course was born in New Orleans, but he moved up the river to Chicago because there seemed to be a lot more work as we moved further into the 20th century for jazz musicians. So many of the jazz recordings that we hear are actually of Chicago musicians or New Orleans musicians who had moved further north. This first recording we're going to hear is a recording of the King Oliver Band featuring Louis Armstrong. He actually doesn't get to take a solo here, but it features Johnny Dodds on clarinet and King Oliver. King Oliver actually kind of discovered Louis Armstrong, if we could say that. Another little side note is that in King Oliver's band at the time that Louis was there was Louis's future wife, Lil Hardin, and she was the one who actually kept telling Louis that he was good enough to make it on his own and that he should break away from King Oliver, because as long as he was playing second fiddle, as it were, to King Oliver, he'd never become the true star that we know of today when we think about Louis Armstrong. But first, we're going to listen to the Dippermouth Blues, which is actually dedicated to Louis Armstrong because Dippermouth was one of his nicknames. So the Dippermouth Blues featuring Louis Armstrong, Johnny Dodds, and King Oliver. right, and that was Joe King Oliver's Creole Jazz Band Dippermouth Blues. As we are about to leave talking about the origins of jazz, I just want to make a couple of references to some things that you've been listening to about this music. We've been listening to music that most of us would categorize as Dixieland. That is, it's got a lot of collective improvisation. Built into that, we're hearing a couple of forms that are coming out with regard to the types of compositions they're playing. We've heard already quite a few bands play some ragtime pieces, and a thing that's very prominent is the blues. The blues refers to a harmonic progression that we talked about last week with Duke Ellington's Sea Jam Blues, but it's also a style of playing where musicians will make their horns sound very much like the way people would sing. So you'll hear people making all kind of slurs up to notes. Sometimes they splatter notes. They'll use different mutes to make their instruments sound a different way. This is a thing that becomes more and more important when you listen to jazz musicians play. Even if you just hear one note, you can usually tell that you're listening to a person who's trying to play jazz versus a person who's trying to play classical music. This feeling of march-type feeling, either in two or a flat four. The way it sounds like all the musicians are improvising together, this collective improvisation. A lot of people refer to this style as New Orleans jazz, although most of the recordings we have of Dixieland musicians are actually made from Chicago. As we get further into the 1920s, we start to see something happen with regard to the improvisation and the rhythmic feeling. I'm going to start playing some recordings from the mid-20s, starting about 1925. We're going to notice a couple things about the rhythm. The rhythm is going to start to relax a little bit. It's not going to have that heavy-handed 1-2-1-2 or 1-2-3-4. It's going to be a little bit more relaxed. The other thing that's very important is that the improvisation, the part of the individual soloist, starts to take on a more important role. So far, we've heard a couple of solos where maybe one person would play, but for the most part, we hear a tune played very much in ragtime style or even a marching band style. If you think about a marching band typical tune, you'll hear an introduction, then you'll hear one strain, then you'll hear maybe a chorus, then you'll hear another strain. Well, what the bands do is they do this same format, but each individual musician is kind of making up his own part at the same time. So sometimes it's, if you don't know a tune, it would be very hard to distinguish what the melody of the tune is. Well, we're going to notice here that sometimes the musicians will actually stop playing while someone is taking a solo. So it gets to be where we have the melody section or introduction, the melody, and then somebody will take a solo, and you'll know they're taking a solo because the activity level around that solo decreases. If there are six musicians in the band during the solo, you might only hear one or two musicians accompanying that musician. A thing that happens with the instrumentation. So far, we've been hearing a lot of brass band style of instrumentation. We'll have bands that'll have a trumpet player, a trombone player, a clarinetist, maybe a tuba player, a banjo player, somebody playing some form of drums. We can't really call it a drum set yet because all of the hardware has not yet been created to allow somebody to sit behind a drum and play four different sounds without using two hands to create one of those sounds. We also have piano in some bands. We also have guitar in some bands. We have to remember that this music was music that was created on the spot, so there is no set format. There are some early jazz recordings that do have violin. There are even some early pictures of King Oliver's band where there's a string bass player, and interestingly enough, the string bass player looks like he's playing with a bow, which is a sound that we're not used to hearing playing in the rhythm section. Usually if a string bass player plays with a bow, it's usually in a classical style, or if he were to improvise. This string bass player looks like he's playing with the bow, his low notes, so boom, boom, boom. All right, we're not yet to the point that the music is going to quite turn into swing. The drum rhythms haven't quite relaxed enough yet for the drummers to start playing ride rhythms, and we don't yet hear real walking bass lines. We do hear the tuba player or bass player or even the piano player, and this is where walking bass grew out of, is that stride piano or ragtime style. We do hear the bass players playing quarter notes or 1-2-1-2, but usually they're just alternating between one or two notes in the chord. They're not really yet improvising a bass line. One style that we've heard that we haven't really spoken that much about is the blues. And we want to just mention that the blues refers to this chord progression we listened to last week over and over again on C Jam Blues, but also a style of music. Sometimes it's very slow, and it will sometimes have a mournful sound or a sad sound. Very often, this is where the musicians playing will make the most use of all the different sounds that can create on their instruments. They might scoop into notes or very slowly or make their instruments growl. Sometimes they'll make splattering sounds. Sometimes they'll make it sound as if their instruments are talking. We're going to listen to one classic blues, the St. Louis Blues, with Bessie Smith singing and Louis Armstrong playing the trumpet. And they're accompanied by just a little reed organ. This is a classic recording. And just take note of the sounds that she makes when she's singing. And then when you listen to Louis play, it's almost the same types of sounds. Going to see if I can fit in one more Bessie Smith performance. This will be the Lost Your Head Blues. It always amazes me that you keep seeing the same names pop up on these early recordings. It seems like everybody played with everybody. On this recording, the pianist that we're hearing backing up Bessie Smith is none other than Fletcher Henderson, who went on to be a great pianist, composer, and arranger. It was his big band that, when Duke Ellington heard it, really inspired him to strive to have a great big band. He once said that if he could have his band sound like Fletcher Henderson's, he would really be saying something. So this is Bessie Smith and Lost Your Head Blues. Then we're going to take a quick break, and then we're going to move up to Mississippi just a little bit.